listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 5th of March, 2023. Good evening. Now, apologies. My voice is still a little bit rough. I'm sure you probably can hear. On the radio, it's a little bit rough. And if I do any coughing, I apologize. I will try and switch off if I can. Right. My guest on the show tonight is a chap called Samuel Chong. And we're going to be talking about ET Contactee. It's a chap who basically he did the book for and who was the chap who experienced being an ET Contactee. And Samuel is going to tell us all about himself and the book and the information that was transcribed to him. So that's going to be very interesting in a few minutes. And as usual, I have a few things to read out, but let's find out what the communication channels are first.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
All right, folks, you know the communication channels are circleofwhitelight.com is the website, and if you pop off to the website and put in your email, you can subscribe to the newsletter and I'll keep you up to date on things that are going on. Also on patreon.com/COWLR and PayPal if you wish to donate. Obviously we do donations every month. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. And t-shirts are available. I think I have most sizes, not all, but most of them. €10 plus postage and packing. Send us an email and we can sort it out there. And also I'm on Rumble and I'll be talking about that in a few minutes as well. Okay, so just a couple of things that are in the news just to read out. On the website rsvplive.ie, they talk about petrol and diesel cars will be banned as new law confirmed. From 2035, the sale of new petrol and diesel cars will be banned in an effort to curb emissions and make the move towards electric vehicles. It will be a big change. The sale of petrol and diesel cars will be banned, as I say, from 2035. The EU Parliament have voted to approve the new law, which will be sent to the European Council for formal approval. This is a move towards reaching the EU climate neutrality goal by 2050, which is all a hoax and a complete load of rubbish, as you all know. We don't have the infrastructure for electric cars. It's going to cause chaos, complete and utter chaos. And something to think about as well, folks, you know, they get so much money from the petrol and the diesel, okay? I mean, the tax on petrol and diesel is phenomenal. If we all go electric, they're going to lose that massive tax from the petrol and diesel. So where are they going to get that shortfall from on tax? Makes you think, doesn't it? So this is a move towards, obviously, reaching the climate neutrality. From 2035, all new cars that come on the market cannot emit any CO2. This is to ensure that by 2050, the transport sector can become carbon neutral. However, if you still own a petrol or diesel car in 2035, you can still drive it. If you buy a new car now, you can drive it until the end of its lifespan. But because the average lifespan of a car is 15 years, the EU have to start banning petrol and diesel in 2035 to aim for all cars to be CO2 neutral by 2050. So what happens to the likes of the people like Nick Mason, the drummer of Pink Floyd, who has a shed loads of classic cars which use petrol and diesel, and all the other people that have classic cars? What's going to happen to them? I don't know. It will still be possible to buy and sell second-hand petrol and diesel cars after 2035, but the total cost of ownership, cost of fuel, maintenance, purchasing and insurance might increase according to the EU. Yeah, I bet it will. You know, if they're not getting tax on petrol. In the Business Post.ie, it says supermarket chain Iceland sells all its Irish stores. The company said it plans to focus instead on the UK market. Iceland, the supermarket chain, has sold all 27 of its stores based in the Republic of Ireland. The deal was with a company called the Project Point Technologies, which will continue to operate the stores under the Iceland brand as part of a franchise agreement. The company said that it decided on the sale to better focus on its UK operations. Why is it with these companies pulling out of Ireland and all want to go back to the UK? I don't know, it's a Brexit thing, or, you know, maybe it's something got to do with that. At least the company's taking them over and is doing a franchise rather than closing them down and all the jobs have been lost, like Argos. Yeah. Okay, so my week, folks, very quickly. I put up more Rumble videos on my Rumble channel. So if you haven't seen them, check them out. I have the video version of the interview I did with S.A. Smith last week on Rumble. I have a pre-recorded with Rachel Elnor. She's the ex-Dragon's Den from the UK, Dragon's Den the UK. That was an enjoyable interview. And there's also two videos regarding the fluid belief system and the teenage adult mind. It's been a busy week with videos and Rumble and getting things done. So they're all up there, folks. You can check them out. And as mentioned, thanks to everyone who donates to Circle of White Light. The January-February donation went to Marion at Molly's Animal Rescue in Duleek, County Meath. I also have a video on that. It's posted up on Rumble as well, but it's on the Facebook page as well. If you haven't signed up to Facebook, you can do that as well. If you want to find the channel on Rumble, just go to rumble.com and search for Circle of White Light Radio and you'll find it. Easy peasy. And so I'm trying to put more content up on Rumble, and I've a few more pre-records lined up to do for Rumble and gradually kind of move over to there, you know. Right, let's get my guest on. Samuel Chong, he's a certified court interpreter and Chinese translator. Samuel was instrumental in arranging for the Chinese publication of Michel de Marquet's book, Theova Prophecy, which has been a bestseller in both China and Taiwan, a rare phenomenon. He visited the author Michel de Marquet in 2016, 2018, and had a close working relationship with him. He also translated the book 334% Lies, The Revelations of H.M. and Stull, autobiography of the High Master of the Chair of a Secret Society that was started in Germany. Sounds like the Bavarian Illuminata to me, but I'll get that. I'll get that clarified. Today, he dedicates his efforts in promoting the messages in these books in order to give people hope and to help promote a better world through his scholarship at www.chinasona.org/scholarship. Graduated from UC Berkeley with a BA in Economics, Universidad Carlos III de Madrid with an MA in Financial Analysis. He currently resides in Los Angeles, California. The book, Theova Prophecies, a book of warnings from the ETs with an advanced civilization. The book details the author's unique experiences being invited to visit an extraterrestrial planet that has an advanced civilization. And he was informed of the history of Earth, ancient civilizations with ET visits, facts about reincarnation and afterlife, the construction and the purposes of the Great Pyramids, the statues on Easter Island, the Bermuda Triangle, aura, human energy fields, and the stories in the Bible versus historical facts, how they parted the Sea of Reeds and the true origin of Jesus Christ from their perspective, etc. The author, Michel de Marquet, passed away in 2018. Good evening, Samuel. How are you doing?
Good, very good. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for coming on and thanks for getting in contact. This all sounds very interesting, especially when you talk about ETs and contactees and the information. So before we kind of get into all of that, we're going to need to find out the history of who Michelle is, what happened to him, and then your role in being asked to do the book and obviously how open your mind was regarding this information. So tell us a bit about the author, Michel. Tell us about him and how that happened.
Well, Michel de Marquet was a French-Australian who kind of just an average guy who used to work as a landscaper locally in Keynes, and he had a farm, so he didn't have a lot of education, but he had this kind of very unique experience in 1987 when he was suddenly awoke in the middle of the night and being taken by this group of ETs to their planet for 9 days and then came back. This happened in 1987.
Okay,
before the age of the internet.
Let me stop you there. Why him?
Well, according to the ETs, he was like what we call an old soul who had 80 past lives already. So only people like him could survive for 9 days on their planet because of the vibrations.
Okay.
And also he was a man of action, and he didn't have any preconceived notions. Like if they were to take like a ufologist, the ufologist would have his or her own agenda when came back and to write a book. Michel de Marquet was just like a blank piece of paper to write on. So he would be objectively reporting everything he saw and experienced on his trip.
Okay. Well, I was just curious why they picked him, and that makes sense. Okay, so they took him. Go ahead.
And so they took him to their planet, and then on the way there, he experienced a lot of different things. He experienced of being in a parallel universe, and he also visited a different planet which just had a nuclear war. And then he landed on the planet Theoba, which is what he called the golden planet, because before he arrived, he saw like a golden mist surrounding the planet, which is very, very beautiful. So the planet is like a paradise to him. Everything was so perfect. The people there are really, really nice and compassionate and loving. They never age because they can regenerate their body organs, and they are always looking like they're receiving good news constantly, every second. They're 9 or 10 foot tall, blonde, Nordic looking, and they are really kind of unique in the sense that they could perform all the miracles performed by Jesus Christ. In the sense that they could levitate, they could materialize objects or manifest objects, they could heal all the different diseases, they could communicate through telepathy, and they have all the advanced technologies such as anti-gravitational technologies and also ways to kind of download messages from each other. So it's a very, very highly advanced civilization on their planet. So they instructed Michel de Marquet to report everything he saw and experienced in a book. That's what Michel de Marquet did after he came back.
Okay, so just before we get into the book and talk about that, so they took him up. Was there a name for this race? Did he have a name? Did they say we are such and such a race of people, and where that planet was that they were on? A rough idea?
Yes, they called themselves the planet Theoba or Zeova, which is similar to the pronunciation of Jehovah.
Yeah.
There's a connection over there in which I'm going to get into later.
Okay.
The planet is in our galaxy.
Oh,
so
okay.
The Milky Way galaxy.
Okay. And, okay, so they must be on 5D then. They must be on if they can have all these abilities, obviously you mentioned about his frequency because of past lives. So do you reckon they were on a much higher, they must be on with them abilities, they must have been on a higher frequency.
Well, they certainly have very, very high vibrations, and because on the planet it's really bright and shining, and the colors are really kind of unique and so bright that Michel de Marquet had to wear like a facial mask, like sunglasses to filter out the lights and the colors. Otherwise, he would have been drunken or been like fainted because of the colors.
Okay, and so he was there for 9 days, and obviously they brought him back. And I take it this, the reason why is he had to write a book to educate the humans. This was the whole idea. This was the plan, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, to wake people up and to enlighten all of us.
Right, okay. And that's great. I mean, there's been a number of these stories where people have been taken and to give, you know, advice to the human race to say, if you don't change your ways, obviously, you know, it's going to look pretty bad. And he's probably one of many that obviously got that information. So, okay, so we have this kind of background. And so in UCOM, he must have, did he contact you or you contact him?
I contacted him because I found the book fascinating because it answers all my questions that I had when I was a teenager. And also the book has a lot of specific verifiable facts that are really kind of applicable to our current situations nowadays. But in the postscript of the book, it says there are more incredible things that he was not allowed to write about because we were far from understanding them. That's my whole motivation of tracking him down and then visiting him to find out what else he knew that he didn't or wasn't allowed to write in the book. So I found him in Vietnam where he was living at that time.
Brilliant. And obviously you did the translation of the book into Chinese and Taiwanese and it's a bestseller and sold really well over there. So you already had an open mind for you to track him down. You obviously were aware of the bigger picture and things going on.
Well, yes, but not until I read the chapter on Who is Christ. Before, I read a lot of ET contactees books already, and I thought this was just another one with information that's very general and with little foundations. But no, this book is very different because every fact contained or is contained in the book can be verified and can be explored further. And also, what really struck me the most is that it explains a lot of the inconsistencies in the Bible. Before I read this book, I didn't believe anything written in the Bible because I thought Jesus Christ was just another fancy figure invented by someone. It's just a science fiction. But after I read this book, I am convinced that certain stories that as recorded in the Bible really happened in history. Because this book gives a lot of foundations or the reasons why Jesus and Christ were born and why the two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, were destructed and why the ETs led Moses out of Egypt.
Okay, well, let's take it from there then, because we, you know, everybody knows the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And obviously, I don't know whether you can even go back as far as Noah and the Great Flood. Because I don't know whether he touched base on that in the book, but if you know about that, great. Otherwise, let's start off with Sodom and Gomorrah and let's go from there. So did he know about Noah and the Great Flood and why that happened?
Yes. Well, that actually relates to Enoch, because Enoch is a great grandfather of Noah. Mm. Enoch was taken away by God or by the Jehovahs, because he was instructed to write a book to report what he experienced. And a few decades later, his great-grandson Noah was instructed to write to build an ark. Michel de Marquet read a book of Enoch after he came back. And after he read it, he was so surprised because a lot of the descriptions in the book of Enoch were so similar to what he actually experienced of going to the planet Jehovah or Theoba. He believed that Enoch was taken away by the same group of ETs. So that's the story. And he was also instructed to write a book. So came the book of Theoba Prophecy.
On the idea of the book of Enoch, you know, you have to ask yourself, obviously, Samuel, that, you know, how accurate would the book of Enoch be, being that it's so long ago? And I know there's people out there that look at transcripts and everything else, but people will have their own version of interpretations based on their own belief system as well. So if Michelle looked at a Book of Enoch and actually highlighted, I said, well, that's what I experienced, that's what I experienced, that's kind of good verification that, you know, that what Enoch said and the translations done in that book matches what Michelle experienced, which is quite good.
Well, not entirely, because Michelle was only pointing out that the descriptions of the travels of Enoch were similar to his own experience. He didn't really agree on the other portions of the Book of Enoch, such as the fallen angels and also the hybrids of man and God. He didn't believe any of those because he never mentioned anything like that. So part of the Book of Enoch is matches Michel de Marquet's personal account, but a lot of the other narratives are probably grafted from legends.
Okay, that's interesting. Because in the Bible they talk about the Nephilim, the fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're going to have, there's obviously contradictions there, basically, and maybe the Book of Jehovah and this book and obviously the Bible. But not to worry, let's go into Sodom and Gomorrah. So for people who know the story, obviously they turned away from the true God and start worshipping, you know, gold cows and all that kind of stuff. And obviously that's not what was supposed to happen. That's the story I know. But tell us what you, what Michelle said it was all about.
Well, according to the book, Theoba Prophecy, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was done by the Theubans as well. They were meant to really focus on getting rid of the people of the two cities because they couldn't find a single person who was honest or on the right path. And the Jewish text, ancient scriptures, give a more detailed explanation, detailing the kind of things that the people of the two cities did to outsiders or to people who visited the two cities. For example, they punished the compassionate people who helped others. For example, a little girl gave food to the poor, and then the girl was actually punished to death. So this is the kind of thing that the people of the two cities did unto others. So they couldn't really find a single person who was righteous. And so that's why they decided to punish the people of the two cities just to prevent things from getting worse and to prevent them to contaminate the people who were in contact with them. I would use an analogy. When you have a malignant tumor in your body, would you want to keep the tumor so that it's going to spread in your body, or would you want to have a surgeon take it out? So this is the kind of thing that the Theubans did. They took the tumor out, the malignant tumor out. So they sometimes guided us, they sometimes helped us, they sometimes punished us. So this is the gist of the book, that we are being watched, and if we don't really follow the right path, the teachings of Jesus Christ, then we are going to be heading a catastrophe.
Do you think that's a bit kind of, you know, pushing the religious side, you know, the whole idea that God loves you, but, you know, he's going to smite you if you do anything bad, you know? I mean, there's a lot of doctrines out there that, you know, from a religious perspective, you know, you don't have to be follow Jesus, but you can be a very good person who's helpful to others and does the right thing, but not necessarily follow Jesus.
That's right. You don't have to follow Jesus. You definitely don't need to follow the religious leaders or organized religions on earth. As long as you know how to live spiritually. Jesus came to us, or Christ came to us, just to preach universal love and spirituality. As long as we know the lessons, as long as we know how to live spiritually, we don't need to follow any of the organized religions on earth.
Okay, that's good. That's good. As long as you're, I mean, people fundamentally know what's right and wrong. I mean, let's be honest. Most people do. Some people might turn around and justify bad behavior, but we do generally know. And that's why we have natural law or common law. No harm, loss and injury. And I think if you follow the doctrine of trying being good to people and trying to do the right thing, and it's, you put out the good energy, because we're going to be talking about energy, then we think, you know, karma, and, you know, I call it the karmic boomerang. If you put out good energy, the good energy will come back to you. If you put out bad energy, the bad energy will come back to you. And it's all scientific. It's not, you know, I mean, if you think about it, and I've talked before in depth about energy. But yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, the whole idea of the teachings of Enoch, and he's supposed to live for 800 years, and as his sons did as well, I think. And the Sodom and Gomorrah, where there was nobody genuine, with a good attitude, and I don't know whether there was people who are told to leave Sodom and Gomorrah and don't look back, and they turned into a pillar of salt or stone. Was there some story about that in the whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing?
No, actually a lot of the stories in the Bible or the scriptures were grafted. Like, you know, the Bible and the scriptures were written a long time ago. There must be some kind of mistranslation or some kind of errors when people were trying to pass the stories on. So, but I think the key is that what the Bible says is actually has been really distorted by the Catholic Church councils. Because this book, The Obel Prophecy, specifically named the four council meetings that intentionally distorted the original intentions of the ancient scriptures. The Council of Nicaea is one of the four. And there used to be the concept of reincarnation in the ancient scriptures. Actually, the reason that Christ died on the cross and resurrected 3 days after, just to show people that there is life after death and there is reincarnation. It's the Catholic Church councils that removed the concept of reincarnation so that people nowadays don't believe in it anymore, even though there are a lot of scientific evidence showing and suggesting and proving the existence of reincarnation. People can read the books written by Dr. Brian Weiss, Dr. Michael Newton, or Dr. Ian Stevenson, who documented a lot of cases, kind of showing the evidence surrounding reincarnation.
Yeah, okay, well, let's just talk about that. The Council of Nicaea, one of the meetings that took place, which the idea was that you, and this is my understanding of it, Samuel, so you had all these Christian factions, cults, which were illegal, and Emperor Constantine's mother sympathized with some of these Christian cults, and Emperor Constantine wanted their support as well. So he made it legal to for these Christian groups to come together, but and practice their religion. But there were so many of them, they all disagreed on the facts. So the Council of Nicaea was brought in, and all these Christian cults came in, if you want, the Christian groups came in, and they all said, we'll agree on one book, and this is where the Bible come from. Now, apparently, there's so many, obviously, they were all putting their own input into the Bible, and there's so many mistakes in the Bible, apparently. Also, parts of the Bible was written by the Pizzo family, with 200 years after the fact. Now, if I did something today, and then somebody wrote about it in 200 years' time, how accurate would it be? So I kind of agree with you there that, you know, obviously parts of the Bible, and then there's some parts of the Bible that actually are not released. They're probably still in the Vatican library, buried underneath the Vatican, because it goes against the dogma that they want to push out there. So that's my understanding of it. Is that something you heard, or did you hear something different?
Yeah, I agree with what you just said. But what's more surprising about the book, The Yoga Prophecy, and this is actually the reason why I'm convinced that Michel de Marquet really had this kind of personal experience being informed about the history of Earth and what happened in the past, was that it explains that why some people say Jesus went to India and why there's a tomb of Jesus Christ in Shingo Village, Japan. So people can look it up on the internet. There are a lot of videos and articles written by credible journalists documenting that there is indeed a tomb of Christ or Jesus Christ in Shingo Village, Japan. You may be wondering why Japan, like why there's a tomb of Jesus. They're not connected to Israel at all, or ancient Hebrews at all. And this is actually one reason why you don't see any records in the Bible documenting the miracles performed by Jesus before the age of 28. So the young Jesus, and before he started preaching, he never performed any miracles, at least not recorded in the Bible. And this book explains why, because the person who the Jesus who was born out of Virgin Mary couldn't perform any miracles. He traveled to India and died in Japan. So that's the Jesus who, that's the young Jesus recorded in the Bible. Is that Jesus, because he was born through the embryo implanted by the ETs into the uterus of Virgin Mary, he really didn't have the knowledge to perform all the miracles, because he had to pass through what some people call, or the Nagas call, the river of oblivion. And this is forgetting everything that happened in his past lives, forgetting all the knowledge to perform miracles. This is the reason we don't remember what happened in our past lives, because everything is erased from our memory when we are born this way. But Christ, on the other hand, really existed. He was an ET who really went into the body of Jesus made by the Theobians just to be able to perform miracles. Because people at that time were very dubious, very skeptical, just like what we are now today. Like, we are very skeptical. Unless we see someone performing miracles, we wouldn't believe that person is someone special. So in order to make people believe the teachings of Christ, he had to be able to perform miracles. So that's why the ETs actually went inside of the body of Jesus, made a new body of Jesus made by the ETs, so that they can be a person who would be believed. That's when he started to preach. As you can see in the Bible, most of the preachings of Jesus were, or almost all of the preachings of Jesus were done within the 3 years before his death, or his resurrection. So that's the reason. And he was able to perform all the miracles, like healing the illness and different illness, walking on water and manifest different objects like foods and bread. And because he remembered everything, remembered how to perform miracles, because he was a ET from a highly advanced civilization, according to this book, The Yoga Prophecy.
Okay, that's interesting. On the reincarnation thing, my understanding is that we actually had reincarnation in the Bible up to the 11th century, where they took it out conveniently because they actually didn't want people to know that you could reincarnate. And as you say, if you read the Bible and Jesus does it 3 days later, it's a bit of a contradiction in terms, really. But this is what the church is like. You don't know what to believe because there's different variations out there. But it's interesting you said about Jesus being an ET, because I think those other people have that thought process as well. If it is true what they say he said in the Bible, you can do what I can do and more. What if he did say that, what did he mean by that? Because he was an ET and we aren't.
Well, he meant that the mind is really powerful. When you really look at some of the people on Earth, such as some of the monks in Nepal, they can do a lot of miracles that performed by Jesus. There's a magician, American magician called Dan White. He visited Nepal, and he himself is a magician. He visited Nepal and shot a film of the monk levitating. And then it's actually on History Channel of the U.S. So people can look it up. And there are other people who can heal, who are healers, who can perform all the healing, healings done by Jesus. So it's really about knowledge, how you are able to concentrate, meditate and concentrate in a form that you can use your mind, subconsciousness, to really perform the miracles, what we call the miracles, are actually just some of the things that everyone can do as long as we practice and know how to do it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And take responsibility, you know, for being able to do it, because we could end up, you know, you could be given a handgun to a child with some of these abilities. So we have to be responsible if we're going to be doing and going down that road. I think that's important. Let's talk about the pyramids. What do you think the pyramids are? Or what did Michel, what was he told what the pyramids are?
Well, it's actually built by someone from the continent of Atlantis, a very learned and wise person called Thoth, about 17,000 years ago. Back then, the continent of Atlantis still existed, and people there had an advanced civilization, and people had the knowledge and the skills and technology of using anti-gravitational technologies and supersonic vibrational systems to cut the huge stones in a very precise manner, and then align the stones in a very, very specific and perfect way, so that the cosmic energy and terrestrial energy could be accumulated through or using the Great Pyramid, so that the users, like the pharaohs, could communicate with people on different planets. And they could also use the Great Pyramid to explore a parallel universe and to make rain.
So the movie Stargate, yeah. The idea of Stargate, so because we have heard a lot that we actually have physical Stargates that have been found around the planet. So you were just mentioning about communicating with other planets. That must tie into the Stargate as well, that technology.
Well, yeah, so it's there are a lot of scientific evidence that show that the pyramid structure can actually concentrate cosmic and terrestrial energy in a very efficient manner. And then the user of the Great Pyramid could project the energy into space or into whichever location they wanted to make things happen. There are a lot of scientific studies on this, so I think it matches with modern accounts of the modern researchers.
Right, okay. And you also mentioned the statues of Easter Island. Now, but if people have seen the statues, if you look at Easter Island, all you see is the top of the statue, and you would easily think that it's just the top of it, but they actually start excavating underneath the statue and found out that these are huge statues underneath when they dug them up, and they're in alignment with other things around the planet as well. So what was his take on the statues of Easter Island?
Easter Island was part of ancient civilization or a continent called Lemuria.
Yeah.
Back 200,000 years ago or 250,000 years ago. And on the continent of Lemuria, there existed once in the past a very advanced civilization in which people really were highly spiritually advanced and technologically advanced. They didn't have money. People just This is why this is so interesting. I would strongly suggest people to read the book, The Urban Prophecy, because it has a lot of very interesting details. So on the continent Lemuria, people didn't use money or didn't have money because people just didn't need the money to buy foods. People just took whatever they needed on the market. No one took advantage of each other because they were highly evolved spiritually. So they were loving people, and there were a lot of very strange animals that went extinct when the continent sunk into the ocean about 14,500 years ago. So the Easter Island was part of that continent, part of that advanced civilization. So people on that continent was trying to commemorate the people from Theoba by building statues. But before they were able to transport the statues back to their capital, which was on the northeastern corner of that continent, there was a strong earthquake. And because of the gastro spells beneath the continent of Lemuria, the entire continent almost sunk into the ocean almost overnight. So because they didn't really pass on the technologies to people on other continents, they kept their knowledge a secret. So that's why, like nowadays, we don't have the knowledge anymore, especially when the continent of Atlantis also sunk into the ocean and the library of Alexandria was burned. People no longer had the knowledge to build another great pyramid. So this is why you see that the ancient pyramids were much better and larger than the pyramids that were built later on, because people lost the knowledge to do it.
Okay, interesting. And what came first, Lemuria or Atlantis?
Lemuria came first. So the people on Lemuria actually came from a different planet called Arimo X3. That happened 250,000 years ago. When they were like on that planet, because of overpopulation, they were trying to migrate some of their people onto a different planet. They explored like Mars and Earth, and they found Earth to be more favorable. But because they found some Chinese people on the continent of Lemuria, and they were trying to migrate there, they had a small war over there. And then they didn't really want to fight against the Chinese. So they retreated back to the moon, the far side of the moon, and built like an alien basis or ET basis there, just as a transfer station to move their kind of people and also materials to Earth as a transfer station. So this is why some people say their ET bases on the far side of the moon is true. It did happen. And now you know how that happened.
Okay, and I remember reading a book by Claude Rial, who was a racing driver in the 70s, and he wrote a book called The True Face of God, who is also an ET abductee. And he wrote a book all about his experience and started what was called the Raelian movement. Now, he had his own theory as to why we have different races on the planet. So did Michelle actually have any information as to how the different races came about on the planet?
Yes. The blacks and the yellows came first about 1.35 million years ago from a planet called Bacratini. They came to Earth because their planet was cooling down, just like Mars was cooling down a long time ago. When a planet cools down, the core, that means the core of the planet cools down. When that happens, it no longer can capture the atmosphere, because it loses the electromagnetic field. So that's why if there's no atmosphere, and there would be no life forms to survive on the planet. So that's why they migrated to Earth about 1.35 million years ago. And the Caucasians came later, and then the Polynesians from the planet Arimo X3 came to the continent of Lemuria, which existed at that time. And then the Jewish people, the Hebrews, came last about 12,000 years ago from a planet called Hebra. Planet Hebra is a category 3 planet. So let me go back. So in the universe, there are a total of 9 different categories of planets. We on Earth are living on category 1 planet. So the blacks, the yellows, the Caucasians all came from category 1 planet, including the Polynesians, the people on Lemuria. But Jewish people, the Hebrews, came from category 3 planet, a higher category. And so this is why when you look at the genetic makeups of different people on Earth, you're going to see, even though we have different colors, the Caucasians, the yellows, the Chinese, and the blacks, they're kind of very similar in terms of genetic makeups. But Jewish people coming from a higher category of planet, they have a kind of a somewhat different genetic makeup. At least the differences are greater than among the different other races. So I would suggest people to read this book to find out why, according to the Bible, the Jewish people, the Hebrews, were the chosen people for one reason or another. And the Theobians wanted to help the people on Earth to get back on the path of spirituality.
I've heard Jewish people mention the word for non-Jewish people as Goyim. And it was kind of, and the feeling I got from it was a derogatory statement, as if, you know, we're lower down the food chain. Now, I could be wrong about that, but that's what I understand it to be.
Well, according to this book, you know, this book really suggests us to look up to people who are more spiritual. Before, like 12,000 years ago, when the Hebrews came from the category 3 planet, they were highly advanced and highly spiritual. When they live in a kind of environment in which were populated by people on a lower category planet, they kind of had to survive and to really living in a very low level environment, and then that's why they also became more kind of or less spiritual. So in a sense, the Theobians wanted to help the Hebrews, or chose the Hebrews as a way to lead people back into spiritual development. So basically, this is the gist of the book. We should not look down on any race of people or any ethnic group of people, because we are all created by God. According to Theobald prophecy, when God created every one of us, it inserted a tiny portion of itself to each of us, our physical body. Mm. So we are part of God, and God is part of us. When you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Because we can really connect to God directly through meditation, through prayers. Because we don't need an agency or intermediary to connect to God. We are all created by God.
That's it. Well, that was the whole idea of religion, to separate us from God. So there's a middleman in between to make us not worthy of speaking to God. That was the whole idea of religion, to control our minds, you know. And there's always a control infrastructure with religion. And this is why, you know, I really don't have time for religion. I'm a spiritual person, and I connect straight to God, and I speak to Source direct. I actually don't like the word God either, because, again, that has religious connotations. Source or Source Creator for me sounds much better. It's more omnipresent and bigger than G-O-D and D-O-G backwards. You know what I mean? It's limiting. And maybe that's what the church, that's why they use that word, to limit people in so many ways. So I just prefer to say Source or Source Creator. when I'm talking about it. Now let's talk about down here. We talk about the auras and human energy fields. Let's talk about that. What do you know about them?
Before I talk about that, I really agree with you. I think we should use the word source, the great ether, to refer to the creator of the universe, because it is a great spirit. It is a pure spirit. It doesn't have any physical forms. So it really wants to experience life through us by having a physical body. We can experience all the things and challenges and happiness and compassion and love in life, and then give the feedback back to the source through our higher selves. So this is the gist of the creation, is that it really, the source, the great ether, the great spirit, wants to experience life through our physical body. So we are physical beings, spiritual like world, and we have to develop our spirituality and to really take advantage of our physical experiences.
Yeah, don't you say we are spiritual beings experiencing life in physical form?
Yes, that's exactly what I meant.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, I know where you're getting at, and we are all particles of source, and our role is to find our path back to source. While we're on this physical body, and that's the whole idea of our journey and our life lessons, and to open up, to understand, and to learn.
Yes, yes, exactly. So back to the human energy field or auras. So why this book is so convincing to me is that it has a lot of verifiable information, because there are people in our world who can see the colors of auras or the colors of human energy fields. A former NASA scientist called Barbara Brennan wrote a book, or three books, Hands of Light series, and she wrote how she was able to see the colors of auras or human energy fields. And there are also other people like Rosalind Burry and also Qigong masters from China who can see the colors of the energy fields of different people. It is important because they can predict what the person is going to do in the future, for example, or is going to have in the future. For example, if they see like a cloudiness or like a grayish color in the liver, almost 100% certainty that 3 or 6 months later, the physical or physiological symptoms are going to appear in the liver area of that person. So they can predict what's going to happen to a person. They can also like show whether a person is honest or not, or if a person is lying or is having malicious intents or intentions. So this book talks about the importance of being able to perceive and interpret the colors of auras. Curtain photography, invented by Russian scientist, can capture the energy fields of different plants or leaves of different plants. So that's a very good start, and I think many of your audience probably can see the colors of auras when they were young, or probably know people who can do that as well. Even if you do a search on the internet, you can find people who can read and perceive auras.
Yeah, I was just going to say, for people interested, if you look up Corellian photography, that's the way they can see your aura. But something to bear in mind is that your aura changes all the time based on your emotions and what's going on. So today you might get a photo of your aura and tomorrow it might be different. That's my understanding of it, that it will change depending on, you know, energies, emotions, feelings and all that kind of stuff. Is that what, would you agree with that, or what's your thoughts?
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah.
It changes by the second. It changes constantly. But what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to come up with a better aura camera than the one currently on the market. I found out that all people who can perceive, who can see auras, are able to see the colors more vividly from black and white photos of people. So on the photos, the colors are like they don't change, and they can see the colors more clearly than colored photos. So this is why I'm trying to come up with the algorithm to analyze the gradients of the grayish colors on the black and white photos, so that the colors would appear. And through this kind of calculation algorithm, I'm trying to develop something like this.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well, I'm just say to people that if you have any questions, by all means, put your question in the chat room there for Samuel, and I'll pick it up and I'll ask Samuel the question there if you want to post it in the chat room. Okay, so we're going to be talking about, we talked about auras there, human energy fields. Well, I suppose that's related to auras anyway. Okay, do you mention here that...
I can actually elaborate a little bit more on the human energy field.
Okay.
The ancient Chinese medical textbooks talks about the acupuncture. It specifically mentions that back in the ancient days, the Chinese doctors could see the colors of auras and could see the energy field of human beings. They can see the blockages of the energies. That's why they were able to use the needles, acupuncture needles, yeah, to remove the blockages. But later on, when the doctors weren't able to see the colors of auras anymore, they lost the ability. So that's why they invented this kind of a meridian system based on the symptoms of the patient. So according, like if you have pain here, you put a needle in on this acupressure point, and that's because they lost the ability to see the blockages of the energies. So that's why they have to rely on this kind of meridian system to treat different patients with different symptoms.
Funny you should say that, because a device that I use, and people, the regular listeners of the show know about a device called the Pain Genie. And the Pain Genie is based on the same principles of acupuncture, and it works on the meridian lines. Now, you could say to me, Samuel, I have a pain and I'm not going to tell you where it is, and the Pain Genie will find the pain. It'll find it where it is, because it's designed to find the blockages in the energy flows in your meridian lines. And I have done this with people where I say to them, right, don't tell me where the pain is, I'll tell you where the pain is. And the actual Pain Genie found the pain, and I could clear that energy blockage with the Pain Genie. Have you ever heard of the Pain Genie?
No, this is my first time hearing it.
Okay, right. Well, if you have a pen handy there, just write down the website Pain Genie, GENIE.com. And that's a device that I have and I use on a regular basis with friends and family. And it's, you know, I've treated so many people with it, and it's based on the same principles of acupuncture and using meridian lines. So that will be of interest to you there. Okay. So let's talk about, one of the biggest mysteries most people have heard about is the Bermuda Triangle. We've heard so many stories on aircrafts and ships gone missing. So tell us what that's all about.
Yes. Aircraft and ships, did vanish near the Bermuda Triangle area, because it is actually a warp or a portal point to a parallel universe. It's not just the Bermuda Triangle. There exist portals or warps in different locations in the world. We have the triangles in China, and there are also places in the national parks in the U.S. and Canada, you know, where people just vanish, and there are clustered areas in which people just gone vanish more than anywhere else. There's a very good researcher called David Politis, American researcher. He documented a lot of the strange cases in his 411, missing 411 series of books. Mm. And it's very strange that the dogs don't smell the the people like anymore, and like it just suddenly it seems that the scent suddenly disappeared out of nowhere. And when the corpses are found, they're normally at very far away places. It wouldn't have been possible for the person to walk that far in such a short time, because they're always like on the different side of a mountain or hill that is very high in altitude. So what happened, my theory is that they got stuck into this parallel universe. So that's why they got stuck there. And somehow, if they try to get out, they kind of got off at a different location, and they didn't know that there was no ground, and they just fell into the mountain or somewhere like that. Michel de Marquet, the author of the book, really went inside of the parallel universe and described what this is like. He saw a lot of people wearing medieval clothes, and also people who seem to be like savages who couldn't communicate with them, but they were having a lot of like body hair, and they mumble in a very strange voice, just like Bigfoot. And so he was told that in a parallel universe, time stops. And people don't feel hunger, thirst, or pain. So this kind of corroborates with the evidence found by David Pilatus, because he found that some of the corpse just had the bones coming out. Just that it seems that they walked to their bones. They didn't feel any pain. Like an average person like me, I wouldn't walk so far so that my bones would come out. But this is what David Pilatus found. So I think in a parallel universe, if people don't feel any pain, then they would just try very hard to really get out of there, no matter what. So I think this is why I'm so convinced that this book is a book that can uncover a lot of the mysteries and paranormals on Earth.
Okay, let's go over. We've got a couple of questions in, and we'll go through the questions, and I want to get into the kind of ET side of what human beings should be doing, and what we need to be changing to avoid disaster. But the questions first is from John. John wants to know, has Samuel heard or read the Nexus magazine? I think he would be interested in parts of that.
Yes, actually, Nexus magazine from Australia is actually the first magazine that wrote about the book The Oba Prophecy. That's how everything started, that it became public. Because of the article in on Nexus magazine, I got an interview with Jeffrey Mishlove, New Thinking Aloud show in the U.S., in America. So that's how everything started. I'm very grateful to Duncan Rose, the publisher of Nexus magazine, of covering the book The Oba Prophecy, and I love that magazine very much. Thank you for bringing this up.
That's okay. That's brilliant. And John also wants to know, does your guest Samuel see people coming here from other planets, or are they already here amongst us?
This is a very good question. There are different races or different ETs that have been coming over here as observers. They don't interfere, they don't intervene with our lives, because it is not their responsibility. And they don't intervene because if they do intervene, it will be contrary to universal law. It is the Theobans, or the Jehovahs, as some people say, the Jehovahs in the Bible. They have the responsibilities of guiding us throughout history. Sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly, to make us to be aware of the importance of spiritual development, because the meaning of life is to learn spiritual lessons using our physical body, having a physical experience. Our physical body is just a tool that we use to gain the life lessons. When a person dies, the person forsakes the physical body, and then he or she would have to go through a life review process in which everything the person did in his or her lifetime is revealed by him or herself. He or she would be able to feel how the other people felt when certain acts were done onto them. Like, for example, if I hit a person, then in my life review process, I would be able to feel how that person felt when I hit him or her. So then we would evaluate ourselves how we did in the lifetime, in our lifetime. Then we decide what kind of lessons to learn in the next lifetime, and what kind of families to be born into. And then our memory is erased. So this is how things go.
Right, okay, that's fine. And, you know, a lot of people kind of agree on that kind of method of reincarnation and the learning curve and the soul contract that we have before we come down here, that we agree to do and learn certain things in this life as we progress through all our lives. And that's a standard spiritual understanding of the whole cycle of life. John wants to know, I remember family photos taken. Some people could see my aura. I could not. Why was that?
Well, it is a mystery to me as well. Some people are born this way. Some people can see the auras when they're totally relaxed. I think it's just the skills that some people have, or the gift that some people have. I'm still researching why some people are able to see the auras. I think it has something to do with the vibrations of the eye. Because when certain grayish colors are vibrated, in different frequencies, colors would show up. This is actually proven scientifically by physicists. So if you vibrate the grayish colors, a piece of paper, and the colors would show up if you vibrate into certain frequencies. So I think it has something to do with that. Just my conjecture, my guess.
That's okay. One of the methods I have heard of learning to see auras is actually squinting. You know, squint your eyes. If you're looking at people and make sure they're standing behind a dark background, squint your eyes and then look at them. Through the squinted eyes, if they're standing in front of a dark background, and practice that. Keep doing that and practice it. And obviously put out the good intention, obviously, to learn how to do it. Now, whether that works or not, I don't know, but that's one method I came across, somebody saying how to practice to see auras. So in your spare time, people can have a go at that. Joan wants to know, great questions, Joan. Can your guest help us in how far back in either mythology or archaeology research has it been found in any way the first mention of God?
Could you repeat the question? I didn't get the first part of the question.
Yeah, basically, how far back, either in mythology or archaeology? So either myth by story or actual physical remnants in archaeology, was the first mention of God? When was God, did Michelle come across any information from the ETs where they said the first mention of God or source energy? When was that? Was there any history of that?
Yeah, it wasn't told in the book when God or when the source created everything. The great ether was a great spirit, but it really reconfirms the Big Bang theory in the sense that when everything was just started in the very beginning, the great ether, the source, imagined everything that was to come about. So, and then there came the Big Bang, the great ether created everything, the stars, the planets, the solar system, the galaxies, the plants, the animals, and people, human beings on Earth. So there are a total of four different forces that the Creator used to create everything. And human beings are unique in the sense that we have we call the spirit or part of God. The animals, they don't necessarily have that kind of part of God, because we don't just have our physical body. We actually have nine different bodies. We have our physical body, we have our physiological body, we have our fluid body, we have our astral body, astrotypical, astrophysical body. So we have different bodies. And the animals, they only have like three bodies. So this is why like human beings are unique in the sense that we can connect to God directly through our own. And God and the source created the other ETs in different galaxies too. And it actually makes a very interesting pattern in the universe, is that our solar system has eight or nine different planets, depending on how you count it. And nine planets revolve around like a star, like the sun. And then nine suns or nine stars revolve a bigger star. And nine bigger stars revolve around like a bigger star until the source or the center of the universe. So this is like a pattern kind of being discovered by astronomers. I read an article like a few years ago. Astronomers discovered another solar system similar to ours, in which nine planets revolve around a star. So I think they're going to keep discovering something similar to this. And then nine stars revolve a bigger star. So I think how far back, there's no clear answer, but it must be a long time ago.
Okay, well, it'd have to be like, well, before Enoch, really. Enoch, Adam and Eve times, that's really where we're going back to, if you want to go back to that story. Okay, so you said that these ET are advanced civilization, and they had warnings for humanity, and that we have to change our ways. So what did they say? What's the warning they gave us, and what do we have to change?
Well, they warn us that there are four dangers on Earth. Number one being money. Number two, politicians. Number three, drugs and journalists. Number four, religions. So everything revolves around money, and politicians are puppets of financiers or the 12 families. And so we need to realize that we have to have the knowledge about the realities of our world in order to respond correctly. And this book actually gives a solution, which is to have the knowledge to know what's going on around us, and so that you know how to respond to the current situations, and focus on the spiritual development of yourself and connect directly with God or to God, and form concerted actions among ourselves to rise up against tyranny through nonviolent resistance, just like what Gandhi did in India.
Yeah.
Because violence never does any good. It's a nonviolent resistance that works the best. It is the concerted action of all of us that would work effectively against the financiers. Because the financiers really rely on enslaving us to gain material and financial benefits. If we don't work for them, if we are no longer enslaved by them, by forming a strike, they have to listen to us, because they will lose everything they have. We, the poor people, will lose very little, because we have little to lose. They, the financiers, the 12 families, they lose big, they lose huge, if they don't cave to our demands.
Well, that makes sense, and that's generally what's going on at the moment. So they're the four things we have to be aware of. Now, I know you mentioned that the ETUs have a prime directive where they can't interfere in civilizations. We have to get on with it. But here's the problem, Samuel, from the information I've been given. The negative side of society, the elites, the Satanists have been using advanced technology from negative ETs. And this is why it's not right what's going on, because we're bringing a knife to a gunfight. And we know that they've been using advanced technology from ETs to control and manipulate mankind and take our freedoms away. This technology is used on a regular basis. Well, a lot of it has been taken out, I have to say. I've been told that a lot of it has been taken out now, which is a good thing. As of lately, a lot of it's been taken out. But in the past, they have used the negative ET, the negative energy devices on human beings. So when they say that there's a prime directive, I kind of get annoyed at that, because the negative side are using this advanced negative technology. So I think it's only fair that we're not saying that we want them to come down and help us win the fight, but we should be given the tools to make it a fair fight.
Well, there are two aspects of this question. One is that they don't intervene because we learn the most from our own experiences. For example, if you are teaching your son a mathematical problem, you wouldn't just give him the answers directly. You would give him the basic concepts so that he would be able to find the solutions on his own, so that he could learn and remember. And similarly, the ETs are kind of giving us principles, which is a focus on spiritual development in order to take most advantage of our lifetimes to gain spiritual lessons. The more difficult the environment is, the more we learn. So I'm happy that I'm living on Category 1 planet, the planet of sorrows. Everything is so kind of imperfect. There are a lot of lessons and obstacles and challenges in life. And I'm very happy and grateful because I can learn the most for living in this harsh environment. So this is one aspect.
Okay, well, let me just interject there, because use the idea of the fact that they can give you the principles, but they won't give you the answer, because obviously we have to find it for ourselves. But let's say we have a classroom, and then on one side of the classroom, all the people there are just given the answers straight away. That's the negative side of the classroom. And on the positive side of the classroom, we're just given the principles and told to sort it out ourselves. How fair is that?
Well, this goes to my second point. I understand where you're coming from, the narratives, the descriptions about evil ETs. I like to point out that it is a fact that the American astronauts landed on the moon about 50 years ago. It is a fact. No matter what kind of people say that we didn't land on the moon, we did. But there's a but here. We haven't been back on the moon for 50 years because we were warned off from the moon, despite the advanced technologies or lowered costs. It doesn't really matter what the NASA says they're going back to the moon, or the Chinese sending their astronauts to the moon. It's not going to happen because they knew that there's other kind of ETs on the moon preventing us from going back there again. Why? Because we were not ready and we are not ready. They only allow highly spiritually advanced people to explore the solar system or the universe. They're afraid of us contaminating the other civilizations in the universe or in other galaxies. We are not ready because we are just like savages behaving not spiritually enough for them to allow us to get along or allow us to explore the solar system. Imagine like when you go to like a jungle in China, you see I used to say Africa, but some people say I'm discriminatory. I'm being discriminatory. But, so when you go to like a jungle in China, when you see two different groups of gorillas fighting against each other, like behaving like savages, would you invite them to your beautiful mansion?
Okay, well, let me interject into here, okay? Okay, you've heard about the skunkworks. Have you heard about skunkworks?
Yeah.
Okay. So skunkworks were, they got military contracts to develop advanced technology like the SR-71. Now I read the book on skunkworks, and the chairman or the CEO of skunkworks who died in 1995, his name is Ben Rich. Before he died, he actually said, we have the ability to take ET home. So we have had advanced technology since the '40s because the Germans were into communicating with ETs and the Vril Society, and they've had flying saucers. They developed them in Peenemünde, which is a hidden base in Germany. And obviously, we all know about that they left for South America and the Antarctica in Mount Swabialand. So they had this advanced tech already. So they had the ability to actually travel the stars already. Again, going to the moon, yeah, they had to play, this is my understanding, they had to play the game with the moon, go to the moon, and even Neil, the chap, the first, the guy said he put his first foot on the, what's his name?
Armstrong.
And Neil Armstrong said that you're putting us in this bucket of bolts to go up into space, when he knew they had advanced crafts already because of the reverse technology after the Roswell crash in 1947 and the Foreign Department in the Pentagon. And if you read the book, The Day After Tomorrow, I think, by Lieutenant Colonel Corso, talks about this advanced technology that they had. So there's a lot of information there to discuss on where we go with that. And maybe they did go to the moon using alien technology to get through the Van Allen belt as well, because that's a belt of radiation.
Well, we did have a lot of ET technologies from reverse engineering, from working with the Greys. I believe that we had a crash and we did capture the Greys. According to Theoba prophecy, Michel de Marquet received telepathic messages from the Theobans saying that the Greys, they also come from Category 1 planet, planet of Soros. They did visit us and they also had implants down to our people, like 150 or so by the year 1995, just to monitor how we respond to our increasingly decreased immune system, because they're also dying. They're a dying race. They want to see how we respond to the same situation that they were also having. And the Theobans say there is absolutely no need to worry about it because there's no harm having the implants, and they have been monitoring to make sure that we don't get harmed by the Greys. But I will say that despite the fact that the U.S. government reversed engineered a lot of the technologies from the Greys, they have been learning from their peers, because the Greys also from a Category 1 planet, they have the technologies to go to the moon, but they probably didn't. It's just my guess, because they are really not allowed to really explore outside of our solar system or with either in our solar system for that matter. Despite the fact that they have technologies to imitate or to simulate UFOs or UAPs, and I just think that and Michel de Marquet was actually told that if we were to explore outside of our solar system or even to the moon, they would prevent us from doing that. The Theobans would prevent us because we are behaving like savages among ourselves, creating or having wars against or among ourselves. it's just not going to happen.
Well,
so I think,
Well, I totally agree with your sentiments there. Exactly. We are human beings are like children with guns, and it'd be ridiculous for us to go to other planets and stuff like that and then just destroy them with our kind of attitudes and everything else. And I totally agree. But I also agree that we do have the tech to do it.
Yeah. And also I like to bring out one more thing. Like I work with a lot of lawyers and attorneys and doctors. I like in order to convince me, I have to see specific verifiable facts, evidence. And a lot of people who receive channeled information, they can just say, oh, I received this information. A lot of information are really general. They're not specific enough to convince me, at least. And they need to have foundations as well. For example, like some people say they have this kind of experience being abducted to a different planet. What kind of information can they reveal so that we can verify such information? This book, The Obel Prophecy, states that there's a tomb of Jesus Christ in Shingo Village, Japan. Remember, the book was written in 1989, before the age of internet in Australia. In Australia, the internet came after the US, the Americans. And he never traveled to Japan. How could he have known that there was a tomb of Jesus Christ in Shingo Village, Japan? He also talks about the West Fort project that NASA did in the 1960s. So in the 1960s, the US government released hundreds of millions of copper needles into space, but failed to serve their purpose. And this book specifically mentioned that project. So it also talks about a lot of other facts that we can look up and to explore, such as the antibacterial, antiviral effects of blue light. There's a paper by Harvard Medical School that shows that certain wavelengths of blue light have antibacterial, antiviral effects with hundreds of clinical experiences. So those are all facts that we can verify. So when I look at something, I look at corroborating evidence and facts. We can really prove or to explore further. So this is something that I would suggest your others to be more attentive when speaking about certain things that doesn't really resonate, at least to me, that there are evil aliens going to invade us and trying to influence world politicians. It also brings to another interesting topic about the Illuminati. I really want to share my opinion on that, is that some people say the Illuminati are influenced by the, or kind of working with the reptilians. There's a Dutch banker named Ronald Bernard, who used to work with the members of the Illuminati, doing kind of money laundering work and playing the financial markets. And he personally witnessed like a person being killed by a member of the Illuminati, just using the intention by putting a hand on that person's heart. And he says that members of the Illuminati have supernatural powers that he personally witnessed, and they are not members. They're not from the reptilians. They're just human beings having these supernatural powers. And I translated the book 334 Lies, autobiography of the highest degree chair of the Illuminati. And it describes how they were able to achieve this kind of supernatural psychic powers using ancient practices and rituals. They also use a special form of numerology and astrology to predict certain things that's likely going to happen in the future. They can actually do a lot of things that Jesus did, as documented in the Bible. They can influence people's mind.
Okay, I've got a couple of questions for you. I assume when you talked about the start of the secret society in Germany, you were talking about the Bavarian Illuminati.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So C4UTC24 in the chat room wants to know, does the guest feel that governments and agencies who acted as authoritarian hikers during COVID locations will be subject to natural law? Sorry, guys, just the typing's a bit off there. VM hikers, not too sure what that means. During, I think it's COVID locations or civil locations will be subject to. Yeah, can C4UTC, can you type that question again? It's not making sense there. Next question, CXZR wants to know, how do you get on with the people around you in your everyday life?
You know, I observe how people respond to certain situations and I try my best to wake them up. I point out building number 7 during the September 11th event in America, which never got hit by a plane but fell vertically, just like a controlled demolition.
Yeah.
I asked people about how they think about that event and any difference from what the government portrayed and the narratives of the government. I also suggest them to look at what's really happening around them, like the people who got the COVID vaccine, for example. They were told in the very beginning that the vaccines would prevent them from being infected with COVID. Mm. But then a lot of people got infected, and it shows that the vaccine didn't work or doesn't work. And then they were suggested to get another jab. And then they still got infected, and they were told to get another jab. So it kind of continues on cycle by cycle. You just need to keep getting the shots. So does that seem normal? I asked them about this. I asked people around me about this, people who are stubborn, who are into the mainstream media about all these questions. So, but sometimes I would keep my mouth shut because I know it's not my it's not the right circumstance for me to point those kind of things out. A lot of the lawyers, the attorneys in America, they're really into the mainstream media.
Yeah.
Like, when I try to mention something about the COVID situation, they just don't accept that. But I think sooner or later they're going to see that Anthony Fauci is probably wrong about certain things.
Oh, definitely. That goes without saying. That question that I tried to read out earlier, apparently it's just got to do with the people who rolled out the COVID on purpose. Will they be subject to some kind of natural law or karmic law, I assume?
Yes, by natural law, but also I think sooner or later they're going to be punished by the laws on Earth as well. Because they're going to find out that the viruses came from a lab in China, the Wuhan Institute of Biology. There are two sections. Because I work as a Chinese translator and a certified court interpreter, I have access to certain information and privy to certain information as well. So there are two sections of that institute, one civilian, one military. It's a military section that invented or brought out this virus with American technology. So they were going to release it on the Hong Kong protesters in the very beginning, but somehow it didn't work well. And then they thought, oh, because they didn't like Trump, so they wanted to be to interfere with the American election. So they released the virus intentionally on American soil. But because of the, you know, it's kind of complicated, but because a lot of financial institutions and big companies, they have a lot of assets in China and they have a lot of trade with China. So they didn't really want the government to be extremely confrontational against the Chinese government because of their interests. So they really, although they knew where the virus came from, they didn't really release it to the public. But I think sooner or later, people are going to realize that it did come from China. and the vaccines are kind of dangerous and not working against the viruses, because how can you come up with a vaccine against a man-made virus? They can just change the different viruses all the time, and just so that the vaccines don't work anymore.
Yeah,
totally. And also the vaccines. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I was going to say, because I'm just watching the time there, you know, there's a lot of talk. You talk about the ETs and the things we have to do and put right and be aware of, or humanity's in for a bad time. Now, we all know that there's a big energy shift going on the planet at the moment, and loads of talk about a potential shift going to be taking place. Now, I had a guest on last week who basically says that this shift is pretty much imminent, and a lot more people out there are also tuning in and agreeing with the same information. What's your thoughts? Have you picked up on anything yourself, or was there anything said in the book? Michelle, has he said anything before he passed away about what's coming down the line, a major shift?
Well, the major shift depends on our actions. The past is fixed, but the future depends on our actions, collective actions. I'm not extremely optimistic yet, even though I see some kind of shift. But if you really look at what's going on around the world, we still have a lot of wars, and the financial companies and the corporations are still in control of a lot of things that go on in the world. And a lot of people have not been woken up yet. For example, the people that I interact with daily, on a daily basis, the lawyers and the doctors, they still believe in the narratives of the government, the mainstream media, or Anthony Fauci, or Bill Gates, or people like those. And so I think there's a lot of room for us to grow and to work on, to improve. I'm not very optimistic yet. I think there are some people who are doing a lot of great work, like such as Stone and Foster Gamble and people like those people, and I really admire their courage. But I think there's still a lot of work to do for us to do.
Oh, I think there's a bit of work for us to do, all right. Now, when Michelle wrote the book, and obviously before he passed away, did he mention anything about the elites planning something coming down the line? Because he died in 2018, so obviously the book was written before then. Was there any future prediction of, you know, basically COVID coming down the line?
Well, he actually wrote another book called Nature's Revenge, kind of explains how the Spanish flu virus came about. It's actually came about by a person who was trying to play around with the virus. It's kind of like a man-made virus as well. So I think he was hinting about what's going to happen, but he was forbidden to tell what's going to happen in the future, because we need to learn how to respond on our own. He asks about what's going to happen to him in the future, and the Thubans, the ETs, refuse to tell him, because it is against universal law to know what's going to happen in the future. Because we all need to respond when the things happen, and not to really be prepared. It's like cheating cheating on exam. So we have to learn. We have to take the exam, and then to really honestly to respond to the exam.
Okay. And do you, when COVID happened, were you already tuned in? Did you know that this was not right? I mean, I assume that by the sound of it, you didn't get vaccinated.
Right. When COVID came, I was extremely frustrated. I wanted to know everything about the virus, so I did a lot of research on my own. Then the vaccine came out in the U.S. in America. There's an inner voice that told me not to get it. I didn't know why, and they asked me to leave the opportunity to others. And you know, So I decided to wait. And then there's a whistleblower from China called Miles Guo, G-U-O. And he told everyone that the virus was actually a combination of different viruses or genetic inserts of different viruses like AIDS, like EB virus, Epstein-Barr virus, herpes virus, and also other different kind of viruses. And he was right about that. Indian researcher did a model or simulation and kind of proved it. And they were silenced from the internet. And that got me very suspicious. Why would you silence an Indian scientist or Indian researcher who was just a college student, graduate student from Indian college? So I decided to explore further. The more I researched, the more I found out that the vaccines were like an issue. They made sure that the vaccine makers were not to be sued or not to be liable for any of the side effects.
They're always immune from prosecution. We have about 5 minutes left, and I'd like to touch base, Samuel, on what is a big concern at the moment. In China, they have the social credit system, which they're trying to enforce over here in Europe. They're talking about digital IDs and 15-minute cities and everything else. And in China, you're well on the way down that road with the social credit system. How do you feel about it?
China is a totalitarian regime, and any dictatorship or totalitarian regime needs to be kind of taken down, according to this book, The Yuba Prophecy. This is why Michel de Marquet made sure that the book is published in China. It's published in China as a science fiction and has wakened a lot of people up. And I think in the future, there's going to be great changes coming up, and the current government has to go. And people need to have more knowledge and not to be brainwashed by the communist propaganda.
Yeah, because it's a big concern. There's a big push on at the moment. And although, I know we talked about this earlier and you said you're not convinced yet. And there is a lot of people who did queue up and get the vaccine. I get that. But I do believe we don't need everybody awoke. We need a certain percentage of the population to wake up to what's going on, for the shift to take place. But definitely it's concerning, because we definitely need more people awake, because there's people who are blindly agreeing to these 15-minute cities and digital IDs and, oh, how brilliant, this is a great idea. We'll get a microchip in our hand and we don't have to carry around, credit cards and everything else. And the concern is, one of the things they want to do, and what they're planning to do, I don't know whether people are aware of this, is that because of identity theft and AI, these deep fakes that are on the internet, they're so good, you would think it's the person talking. And the audio is so good. And what the plan is, again, the Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, what they do is they put the problem out there, and the problem will be that, how will people know that Samuel is Samuel? How do they know it's you on the video when there could be deep fakes out there of you? How do they know it's your voice when there's deep fake voices out there? And what will happen is the banks will demand that they have digital IDs like microchipping and stuff to prove who you are. That's really what they're trying to do at the moment. And we have to be very careful of that. So I think we'll add that to your list of four, I think, Samuel.
Yes, I agree. We have to be aware of the current AI, artificial intelligence. And so far, we have entered a stage of rapid technological development, and we need to really connect to the source, the creator, and not to be too relied on technologies.
Yeah, definitely. So in the summing up of your book, I mean, it sounds interesting. It sounds fascinating. You seem to have a lot of information in the book. And are you the main agent now for the book? Because obviously Michelle has passed away.
Yeah, I'm trying to my best to promote the messages in the book. And so far, what we have discussed are kind of very interesting, but it only covers about maybe 10% of the content of the book. There's still like 90% of the information that's going to be extremely beneficial and valuable that can help you, yourself, your friends and family members. And yes, I'm trying my best to work with the copyright holder and to spread the messages in the book so that more people can be enlightened.
Yeah, definitely. And wake up to what's going on. And even if it's, you know, it's his experience, because I know there's other people that have ET contacts and they've been, you know, taken and given information, as I say, like Claude Riel. And he came out with a book called the Only Face of God, or The Face of God. And he gives his understanding of what happened, which is probably going to be different to Michelle, because I think there's all these ET races out there and they're given what they know to these people, which might be different to somebody else. So again, it's all about keeping an open mind on things and taking it on board and just, you know, enjoying the information, and hopefully we'll have to change humanity. A big thank you, Samuel, for coming on the show. It's much appreciated. Thank you for taking the time for coming on and telling us about the book. Do you want to give out your contact details and all the information where people can find the book if they want to buy a copy of it?
Yes, people can get a book, a physical copy of the book, by searching on Amazon. The title of the book, Thioba Prophecy, Thioouba Prophecy. And they can also get a PDF version online, and they can search my name, Samuel Chong, Chong, and find how to contact me. I'm also on Facebook.
Brilliant stuff. Excellent. All right, Samuel, just stay with me there. Thanks for coming on. I will just go to a musical break and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, folks. That was Samuel Chong. Information from Michelle DeMarquet on the Thioba Prophecies, the book that he put together with Samuel before he died in 2018. Got to do with ET contact and all the things that are happening in the world and everything else. Sounds very interesting. I might try and get a copy myself and have a read. I'm always good to keep an open mind on what's being said. As I say, does other people that have been ET contactees got information and would have a difference of opinion on certain things in the book? So, as usual, always keep an open mind on these things. But again, a big thank you for Samuel for coming on. Now, just before I let you go, just a reminder that I've put more videos up on the Rumble channel. If you go over to rumble.com and type in Circle of White Light Radio, you'll get the video interview I did last week with S.A. Smith, a video of Rachel Eleanor from the Ex-Dragons Den UK, and a few other tutorial videos got to do with psychology, the fluid belief system, and the Little Red Hen principle, and the teenage and adult mind is up there, plus the donation that I made during the week. Thanks again for your donations to Marion at Molly's Animal Rescue in Duleek. I went into her house and she had cats everywhere. We were having a cup of tea in the chat, you know. So again, I'll be looking for a charity for March. Now, this March, I'll be looking for a charity, a nominated charity for this March. So if you have a charity that you want to nominate, by the way, folks, just email me at contactus@circleofwhitelight.com, and then we'll see what we can sort out. We do a little bit of research and all that kind of stuff and see what we can do. But again, a big thank you to, it's your donations that help me pass on the funding and make the donations to these charities. You know, so it's down to you. It's people power. That's what it's all about. So a big thank you for doing that. Now, my guest on the show next week is a lady that I've had on before, is Tracy Mahon. And as you know, Tracy tunes in to Daniel, who's her channel. And I'm sure we'll be having a talk with Daniel and asking him what the hell's going on. There's loads of talk about these energy changes taking place. I was listening to an Australian lady today who tunes in to Gaia, apparently. And she said that these energies are going to be affecting us between the 20th and the 24th of March. Now, I did say to SA last week about the 22nd of March, So funny, she kind of agrees that it's in between 20 and 24. Again, I'm not going to get caught up in dates or get caught up on these predictions because I've heard so many of them over the years and nothing ever happens. All right. So I'm just saying that as a bit of entertainment and just to let you guys know what I'm hearing. It doesn't necessarily mean I believe it until I see it. So, and that was funny when Samuel said about, you know, the evidence. I remember hearing the story of a guy standing up in the middle of a UFO conference and he said, "Where's the evidence?" And the speaker on the stage said to him, "Of a 40-foot truck outside, where do you want me to park it?" As in, it's full of evidence. So again, the evidence is out there, but like everything, you have to do your research. You have to look into it. And if somebody says they've seen a UFO, which is going to be subjective, are you going to say, "No, you're lying. I don't believe you've seen a UFO." Well, you can't either confirm or deny either way whether they did or not. It's going to be subjective to that person. So is that class as evidence or proof? You know, it's a minefield. And there's so much CGI and everything else that's out there. You know, people trying to con people saying, "Oh, look at the lights in the sky and it's all CGI or something." So, you know, you have to be an open-minded skeptic these days, with especially with the deep fakes and everything else going on. But it's a concern regarding the digital IDs that they want to flood the market in AI, deep fakes. So you can't tell whether that person is real or not. And then they'll turn around and say, "Oh, because of that reason, we're going to have to microchip you. We're going to have to bring in digital IDs where we can validate it's you." This is their plan. This is one of the plans that you want to do. So again, we have to stop them and we have to fight the system. And obviously pay cash when you can as well. It's all very important. Right. Okay. So I'll let you go. A big thank you to everybody on the chat room and everybody who tuned into the show. Take care. As I say, I'm busy this week. There's so much going on these days. With Zoom calls and pre-records and personal things in my life that are going on, that it's all kind of very, very busy. So plus I have to get rid of this cough as well. Now it's at the end of it, you know, for some reason I seem to be prone to getting these and everything's good. It's just I have a little bit of a cough. That's it. And I am taking stuff for our guys. I have been sent stuff by great people, and I am kind of taking some of that stuff for this cough. So hopefully it won't last too long. So a big thank you to everybody. Take care. Have a good week. Stay safe. Apparently they're predicting snow for Scotland and the UK. I don't know about over here, but it's probably going to get cold. So thanks for all your well wishes on the chat room there. I will do my best to be much better for next week. Take care. Have a good week and bye bye. Oh, by the way, very quickly, I know my dad is listening in. So, good evening, Dad. Thanks for, you know, tuning in and having to listen to the show. And I'll probably see you during the week. Take care and bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio. Focusing on solutions and thinking different.